passage, Colossians 2, verses 6 through 10. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith, in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of his deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of every power and authority." Let's pray. God, you're so awesome. Thank you so much, Lord, for a place like this where we could get together with brothers and sisters, open up your word, read it word for word without anybody telling us we can't do that. It's so awesome to fellowship with like-minded believers. They want to be here. It's a Friday night, and they're here. They could be doing something else, but they're here to hear from you, God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would empty me and that they would see you, God, that you would be speaking through me, Lord, and that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, these are your precious children. And I pray, God, that you would continue, Lord, to work in our lives individually and as a church. God, it's so awesome to serve with these brothers and sisters, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be glorified in our lives. Speak loud and clear in this word. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, as all you know, we have a school academy here Monday through Friday, right? K through 12th. So there's a daily routine that goes on. You know, I get here early in the morning. Sometimes I open the door. Sometimes Mr. Scott or Pastor Will is here early, ready to open up shop here, ready for the kids, around 7:25, 7:30. No one's here, and it's cool. And I know daily, Monday through Friday, how things are going to go, right? And so come at the end of the day, something new happened this year, something new. As I teach Bible to the kids at the end of the day, I have a big window in my classroom. It's the pre-K class over here. So there's a big window. You can see people pass back and forth. But at a certain time, around 3:35, 3:40, it's a routine. Someone passes by, you know, unless there's school set up, there's a guy that passes by, and it catches my attention, and, you know, a song hits. And I don't know why, but I see him, and I'm like, wasn't he wearing something else? You know? And so this certain song comes on, and I can't explain it, but if you see this person, oh. This song comes on in my head. Pastor Juan walks by. Pastor Juan's walking by, right? And he's in a change of clothes. I don't know if you recognize the song. It's Terminator. Right? So, I'll be back. Pastor Juan's walking by, and he catches my attention. He's in different clothes, because I've seen him earlier. He's in his school clothes, but he's changed. Well, he's up to something, okay? He's up to something. He's on a mission. And like I said, I hear that, jug. It's almost like slow motion, right? He's on his way. He's on a mission. He's going to the gym. Okay, so it's a daily routine. He goes to the gym, and I know he's going to do that. Okay, there's more. He has minions. So you got the Terminator, right? And so they're determined to get to this gym, right? But he doesn't wait for them. They all come in different waves. The juniors and the seniors are here because they don't go to PE. So there's a couple of juniors and seniors that go with him. There's a couple of his minions in that group. And then there's a couple that come on the bus. And so it's routine. They'll come off the bus, but they don't go in groups. They kind of like go in waves. Like, okay, there goes there. They're going. But what's cool is it's consistent. It's not like, oh, they're not, unless they don't feel good or unless, you know, they're tired. They're pretty consistent. And this started pretty much early school year, beginning of end of summer. And so Yeah, so they follow. And there's a couple of adults, too. I know Mr. David Lockman goes with them, too. And they work out. It's not just young men. It's young ladies, too, which is cool. And the thing I'm trying to get at is Pastor Juan tells them, and this is so cool. He tells them, you know, God's given you a body. He's given you a body to do work. And, yeah, you're going to look good. You're going to lose weight. You're going to feel good about yourself. But I know he tells his son, Johnny, you use that for work. You get strong because you're going to do work. And I tell the same to my son, Matthew. You're working out now, you're going to do work, you know. So just like our physical bodies, you know, you'll see a little transformation. There's a couple of those young men that, wow, man, the beginning of the year, your body has changed and your attitude has changed. And it was so cool. It's not just that they go there to work out. They have this camaraderie, you know, of brothers and sisters. And they're different ages. But they're there for one mission, is to be fit for Jesus Christ. And it also reminded me of, there's a show called The Biggest Loser. And I don't really watch it, but this year I was able to watch some of it because my kids enjoyed watching it. Transformation. I mean, talk about transformation and lifestyle change. That's amazing. These guys go there for 6 weeks and their bodies change. But the key is their lifestyle has changed also. As with the kids, they have this routine, all right? They follow Pastor Juan, and they follow what he tells them to do, and they do it. Well, just like here in our word, Jesus tells us what to do. I mean, you guys hear it. Having spiritual muscles, flexing them every now and then, right? And so the reason God gave me this was I was at the gym Monday night, and I was there with Reggie, and I was fighting the, because I was asked, could you teach Friday? And God said, see all these people? They're working out muscles. It's time to work out your spiritual muscle. You're going to teach about, you know, flexing your muscle in the Lord. You know, no matter what physical shape you're in, you still have this, the Word of God, to show you your way. And so we're going to look at Colossians here, and we, if we've read Colossians, we know that some stuff was going on, a lot of heresy, and it was so big that it caught Paul's attention in jail. Paul's not even the one who went over there to preach to him, but it caught his attention, so he had to write this letter. It was big enough to write this letter, okay? Things were going on, a problem in Colossae, some heresy going on. Probably corruption of Christianity, things like legalistic Judaism or early Gnosticism. But whatever the problem is, Paul addresses the church in Colossae, and he tells them how to live lives as Christians. And in this little part, we'll go through this little part and what he's trying to say to them here. Again, it is a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. When we get saved, it changes us, and so it should be a continual change. So we'll look at verse 6. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Okay, so I'm going to look at the word received. When we receive something, especially something we are hoping for, you know, I hope that you guys take care of it. That when you receive a gift that you've always wanted, you take care of it. But eventually, you know, materialistic things, whatever it may be, you get tired of it. And it's like, you know, I got it. And you always want the new thing, right? iPhone 5 came out. 5S is coming this summer. I want the iPhone 5. S is coming out. The 5 is still good. I don't even have one. I don't even have the 2, you know? But people are saying, I'm going to get the 5S, right? Things get old, but the thing is, we receive things with gladness. But here, you know, of course, this is Jesus Christ who received. It says, so just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. The next word is continue. Continue. That means keep going. It doesn't stop. Your lifestyle changes when you receive Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is everlasting. We know that. It's not like the iPhone 5 or the S4. He's everlasting. It's new every day. He's new every day, which is so cool. So it says to continue on following. Now, if we go back to the basic life Jesus teaches us, the added things that people, if people come in here and say, you know what, Pastor Ron, you know what he's teaching is cool and all, but did you know that if you do this too and add and do this, you'll be even more saved? How could you be even more saved, right? Things like that, you could catch on and you'll say, you know, I could discern that's not of God. We don't need any new revelations in life. Because once we receive Jesus, it's the simplicity of the message that keeps us going. See, it's us. It's our flesh that makes things hard on ourselves. We make things hard. We think that we have to do something more, just like the Colossians were. We're not to be stagnant in our walk. God has given us all that we need in life, in His Word. We need answers. It's here. It's right here. We just need to open up the Bible, right? It is all there. Now, let's look at these words in the verse. It says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, like when you receive God, okay, returning to the first, your first love. If you think back to when you first discovered Jesus' love for you and the first time you got saved, how did you feel? Just as. So when you receive, just as when you got saved, you will always feel that love for Jesus. It wouldn't be old. It wouldn't be like, God, why do I have to do this again? It'll be, thank you. I get to do it again with you. Live my life for you. Again, that's part of building up your spiritual muscles. Daily, knowing, and you go back to the way you feel or how you felt when you got saved. And that should cause you to live with gratitude every day. I tell the kids during chapel when I teach, you know, I think more so with the youth or the junior high and high school, because I got to teach them once, but there are a couple of kids in the class that they're tired, you know, it's 8 o'clock and there's a chapel, huh? Yeah. But a lot more so with the youth, because they do a lot more, I guess. The kids in here are more excited. If you go to worship during chapel with the kids are jumping up and down, you know. Us teachers, we have to keep up with elementary school, right? And so they're excited. So I tell them, were you happy when you woke up this morning? Yeah. You know, did you thank Jesus that you were able to wake up? Well, some of them are like, yeah. It's usually the kindergartners and the first graders. When you get back to the sixth graders, how could you say that? But I always throw my daughter under the bus because she's the hardest one to get up in the morning. I say, this morning I had to tickle Ashley's feet to wake her up, and she was not happy. But I tell them, guys, before you even think about yourself and say, oh, I'm tired, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And that's a reminder to me, too. Thank you, Jesus, that I was able to wake up this morning and I get to serve you wherever it may be, whether it's at work, here at school, I get to serve you. And if we wake up with that attitude daily, that changes your life. Because when you do that, your attitude towards life is gratefulness, because you got to wake up, because you get to serve God. Now, remembering that feeling, it's overwhelming sometimes. And we need to remember that daily. I got saved at a stadium in San Diego. And that was overwhelming, too, because it was so big, and we were asked to walk down to the field. And to walk down to a field that I used to watch sitting in the bleachers, and to sit in center field and receive Jesus Christ was amazing. You know, and I look at that day, and that my life did change. It took a while after that for me to get it, but I know that Jesus was right there with me in center field, accepting him. And with that, there's definitely has to be growth in your faith. So daily, again, you remember what Jesus has done for you, and then your growth grows. Your daily growth grows, just like the guys working out. You know, there's results. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the childish ways behind me. Now, once we get saved, we call it what? We're baby Christians. You know, we take the baby steps, but we're so excited, right? But what happens when you learn how to walk? You stumble. You fall. You know? And these things happen all the time. But early in your walk, it's still new. So, Lord willing, you pick yourself up and you dust yourself up, I'm going to move on. Just like a child, you know, that's learning to walk. Now, if the child gave up walking, learning how to walk, just like my children, and if you have children, you watch them fall, you're like, ooh, you know, that kind of hurt. But they get back up. Children are resilient. You know, they'll bump their head and get back up and start walking again, right? I think about my youngest, Mochi, because, you know, I remember when he started walking. Not that I even remember them walking, but he out of the four kids, is strong-willed. He, you know, so with his strong will, if he decided, forget it, I'm not going to walk and just lay there. Imagine that. We'd be carrying him everywhere, you know? So he'd be weak, just like when we fall as Christians. Get back up. We get back up. See, what's awesome about Mochi is that, yes, he's strong-willed. I would like to put him in the cart at HEB, but he wants to walk. But I'd rather him be in it. But anyways, he walks good, right? And so I pray that you're just like that. Resilient, walking in your walk continuously, not sitting down in your faith. Again, the situation is the same. When we are new in Christ, we stumble and fall in our spiritual walk. However, if we get up, restart, and trust in the Lord, He, Jesus, will see us through, not ourselves. Sometimes we say, I could do this on my own. Can't. No way. You guys know that. And if you're not a believer, you will realize when you become a believer that Jesus is the one walking you through. It's nearly impossible for us to overcome attacks of the enemy if we are not walking with Jesus. Because the enemy is going to look for you, especially when you first get saved. He's going to discourage you. You're going to say, hey, you're not as good as that person. Look at that person. They're doing that. You're not. But if you continue to pick yourself up, you could turn around and walk away from that and say, you know what? I'm stronger than that. I got Jesus. Verse 7. Once we do all that, Paul says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. There it is, thankfulness. But again, we go back to the roots. Okay, we're rooted in Jesus Christ once we get saved, right? That's our source of life. Being rooted in Christ, that's the source. Because if we detach ourselves from Jesus, the root, and we say, you know, I'm just going to read this and read a couple of commentaries and listen to the radio, and I'm good. If we're not deeply rooted in Jesus Christ, the life source, and it all becomes about us. And it's saying here, you're rooted up and built up in him. Building up your spiritual muscles, strengthened in the faith. We see here that Colossians, they started in the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, when you get saved, it's the simple message. Jesus died for your sins. He rose. We have everlasting life. All you have to do is accept him in your heart and live for him. Kindergartners could say that. Simple. But what happened was, when they were left alone, when things started getting a little shifty, people started coming to the church telling them they needed to do this and this, and here's a step of success. Does it sound familiar? These are the steps to get saved and remain saved, and it's not what Jesus is teaching us. That's what I love about this church, is that it's word for word. Pastor Ron will end it apart, and you know next week he's going to pick up on that part, even if it's something that's, you don't want to learn, you don't want to hear. It's not always the good news. But it, with that pain, the pain to our soul causes us to draw closer to Jesus, again, building up our spiritual muscles. Now, we come to church, right? Knowing, like a Friday night, again, we could be somewhere else, right? We could be hanging out with friends, fellowshipping, the same thing, but you chose to be here. You chose to be here. And a lot of us say, well, I've done my spiritual duty of the week. I went Friday. I even went Wednesday. And I'm going to try to go to 3 services Sunday, right? And then you're super, super spiritual. But that, we all know that's not what saves us, right? It changes us. It helps us. But as soon as we walk out those doors, there's that enemy waiting for you out there saying, you believe what they're teaching in there? You go to work, there's that coworker pounding you. Oh, there's that Christian, right? It's not just church, it's you. You have to be willing to do the work at home or wherever you're at, being that Christian at work. It doesn't stop here. Church is great. It plays a big role in our Christian development, and the teaching becomes a big part of our foundation, right? However, again, you have to build on it, allowing Jesus to continue to allow you to flex your spiritual muscles. And you will. You will come in contact with people that will make you do that. But here's the thing. You got to do it out in love. See, they're going to watch you, and they're going to see how you react to the things that happen in life. They'll say, if like something happened to a coworker and it happened to you, but you reacted differently, well, that's your spiritual muscle. And they see, man, how come that person didn't react the way I did? Right? And so you continue. You have to be willing. Now, at the same time, like the kids that go with Pastor Juan, if they went, okay, church is the gym. And they went there, and Pastor Juan just pumping, and they're just watching them and smiling. Good for you, Pastor Juan. That's great. And they go, hey, you want to have a coffee with me over there? Some coffee. Or let's sit in the sauna while Pastor Juan. Again, Pastor Juan, like Pastor Ron preaching, doesn't allow, he's not the one saying, you're going to get strong because I'm the one doing the work. You have to do the work. I'm sure you've heard that before. You have to do the work, and you get results when you do the work, right? So church, again, gives you the knowledge, you fellowship with the brothers and sisters, and then you walk out there and you flex your spiritual muscles. It's neat. We have this awesome technology, live stream, right? It's good and bad. Good is if you feel really sick, and you definitely can't make it to church. You just click on live stream, and here we are. Bing! Or if mom and dad in California is watching, they could click on and see son teaching the church. But there's a dangerous, y'all know what the dangerous thing is. I could watch online. I don't need to go to church. Pastor Ron sounds the same through the computer. You know, right, Pops? Yeah, he sounds the same, and the message is going to go through. Ah, what's bad staying at home watching this online thing? This is what it's for, right? What are we forsaking? The fellowship. Another vital thing in our spiritual walk, growth, is to be with like-minded believers, sharpening each other. Sharing in each other's struggles. I love this place because I could go to a brother that's not my age, maybe younger or older, but we have the same thing in common, Jesus Christ. We have the same struggles. When I went to my first men's retreat, I was like, oh, a bunch of men? Oh, I don't know. The neat thing that ministered to me was the age, the ages. Young and old, same struggles, same Jesus. And you get to hang out with these guys, whether mature, real mature in the Lord, or just getting to know the Lord. You get to see the different things, but they're there for one reason. It's for Jesus. And you won't get that anywhere. People will see, I always say this, they'll see me and Ron Littman hanging out in the world. What are those two doing hanging out with each other? Ron Littman's bass, if you don't know, the guy on Sunday that plays bass up here. He's a lot older than me. No, but sorry. But again, it's weird. You know, the world will say, what are those two hanging out for? You know, it's Jesus, right? So we don't forsake that. We don't forsake the gathering of the brethren because we build each other up. Again, it's you're here on a Friday night, and church is awesome because you're here. There is no church if you're not here. You are the church. But church does not save you. Religion doesn't save you. Your walk with Jesus Christ, holding on for dear life, that will save you. Because there's no one else but Jesus. No one else. So now our walk is strengthened. We continue to walk because we received, we continued, and then we're rooted, built up in Jesus. So we look at the next verse, verse 8, defends you with things like this. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Okay, we see here that there is, like we've been talking about, there is some false teaching going on in the Colossian church. And it has an emphasis on philosophy and empty deceit. And most of all, it was according to the tradition of men. Tradition, that word tradition. I grew up with tradition in the church. Rituals. Things that were told by a man to do, you need to do this, and if you do this this many times, then your sins, you should be good for a week. But you need to come back and tell me again what you did. Tell a man. Tradition. Again, religion kills relationship with Jesus Christ. It's relationship, not religion. And so, with all that said before this, we have discernment. When something's kind of sketchy, when something's kind of wrong, your spirit, the Holy Spirit says, that doesn't sound right. Let me look in the Word. That's where you should go. If somebody tells you something, say, well, hold on, let me check in the Word what it says. 2 Timothy Chapter 2, verse 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Talking to us. That's not just a select few. That's everyone. This is for us. He's saying you could present yourself to God, a workman approved, because you're deeply rooted in the Word. And it's funny because when you do open your Word, the flesh takes over. And I find this, and my confession is, you tend to just start dozing off. That's the enemy saying, no, you can't read that. It's tough. But we can't be ashamed to open up our Word. We live in a country, so far is where we can open a word and they can't arrest us for reading a Bible. We have the freedom to open up our Bible. Now, in the workplace, I don't know. It's getting worse. Can't open up your Bible without somebody being offended. But again, it's still legal. And so we rightly handle the truth. That's what we stand on. God's word. Know your Bible. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God, always, never boring. You could read it over and over, and depending on your walk, it changes. I know with Pastor Ron on Sunday, he's reading Matthew. I've read that many a times. But as my faith has grown, it has changed. I mean, before it was Christmas, birth of Jesus, miracles, died on the cross. But there's so much meat, so many things that Jesus Christ did for us. And it's so neat because the Gospels, you know, they connect different places. But it always should be new to you, that it's living and active, that it never is boring to read. The bestseller in all books, the Bible. So with that, you should be excited to open up your word. It should be like food. I can't go a day without eating the word of God, eating, drinking the word of God. And again, Pastor Ron talks about you don't have to go in a closet and be in there for an hour and, oh, Lord, help me. As long as you read your word and you understand what God is telling you and you allow these words, penetration, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating, even dividing soul and spirit. That's what it should feel like, that God's telling you something and I want you to change. Oh, you're doing well, but you still need to grow continually in Christ. Verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now, this can only be true because Jesus is God. He is God. That's his deity. Anything that says we are not complete in him also takes away from the deity of Jesus. Well, as believers, we are complete in him. Paul says that this is a fact to be enjoyed, a fact that we are complete in Jesus, not a status to be achieved, not a status. We don't say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, and that's my status. No, it's a fact to be enjoyed. You've heard it. Don't be a Christian that looks like their shoes are on too tight. That life is so hard. It's a fact to be enjoyed. I don't know about you, but ever since I understood that, and I have a natural look on my face because my eyebrows kind of go like this. I look mad. So people are like, are you mad? Oh, no, I'm not mad. You know, I'm not mad. So, yeah, I have this natural, but I'm not, because people ask me, are you okay? Are you mad? No, man, I'm actually having a good day today, you know? So, yeah, I mean, you are to enjoy your walk with the Lord. It shouldn't be like, oh, it's so hard. I go through all these things. Ever since I got saved, people are persecuting me. They make fun of me. Well, think of Paul. He's writing this in jail, you know. He's not even concerned about himself. He's concerned about this church that's getting taught wrong. And when I think about my troubles, I'm like, oh, well, Paul, you know, he was in chains and whipped and beaten for God. And we don't have to go through that. We get a little, you're a weird person. You know, we're hurt. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. In our weakness, Jesus is strong. We can lean on him. And I'm weak. I'm only strong because I have him. Funny how that is, because this is also a sign of flexing your spiritual muscle. Weakness. Funny. In our circumstances in life, finances, Jesus is still on the throne. Health, Jesus is still on the throne. Kids walking away from the Lord, Jesus is still on the throne. We find joy in Christ even in times of trials. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I was able to teach the elementary about trials last week. And I realized that trials are different levels. So I'm talking about big trials that adults go through. Then I look down, and I see the kindergartners going. So instantly, I'm like, oh, Lord, what should I, okay, how could I describe trials to these guys? I look straight at my son, Bubs. Bubs, when you're tempted, he still has that look of, what are you talking about? Okay, if there was a piece of chocolate in front of you and we told you not to get it, that could be a trial in your life. And all the kids, you know. They come in different forms, right? To a child, a trial may be just that, deciding, should I take that candy or not? You know, will I get in trouble? What we do get in these times is we get more mature in the Lord. The trials get stronger and stronger. But we need to find joy in that because it develops perseverance. We get to flex and say, I'm going to stand up to this. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to fail because I have Jesus. And then we have this promise in verse 10. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Again, in verse 6, we received, right? We received Christ. Here we've been given, not partially, but whole. We don't get half of Jesus, we get all of him. We are the ones that kind of take the tidbits, the halves, the quarters of Jesus and say, I'll take this much, but that one, we have the whole. We have all of Jesus. Knowing this, reading it over and over, helps me to remember that I am grateful, what I'm grateful for, my life. We have Jesus. The Jesus that the world is rejecting right now. The Jesus that people say, how could you believe in that fairy tale? He's real. It's proven. We have Jesus Christ on our side. We have received because he has given. Now we have to ask if we haven't received him. We need to ask. Who is this Jesus this guy's talking about? Is he real? Can he make me feel better? The head of every power and authority. Paul is telling the Colossians in these verses that they have Jesus on their side. They do not need to look again, to added things to strengthen them. They just needed to look into the simplicity again of Jesus Christ. And if you read on in the book, it talks about how to do this. How are you going to live a Christian life in the household? It shows simply Jesus. The simple message of Jesus is strong. It could change lives. It's changed so many. This morning on the radio, discernment came to mind. We're listening to Air One, and they were talking about the death of Roger Ebert. And the radio guy was going, when I used to watch him as a 12 and 13 year old, I would get uncomfortable when him and Cisco would go at it about the movie. And I would get uncomfortable. Well, Matthew turned to me and he goes, he's 13. 12 or 13, you're uncomfortable? And I'm not saying that he's like, you don't get it. It's just nowadays we've been desensitized. The guy was talking about you can turn on the news, you can turn on sports, and there are guys arguing politics, who's the best basketball player. They're arguing. But see, we've been desensitized, and it's like, it's normal. They'll get along again. What the announcer was saying on the radio was saying, I didn't understand that these guys would argue at the end of the show. They were buddy-buddy. And Matthew's like, what? And I told him, well, Matthew, think about it. The world is desensitized. 10 years ago, things that were, are just, that's normal. Discernment. We are to have discernment. Jesus is over all of this. He is the authority over all of this. We as believers discern because our spiritual muscles are built up. We need to be more like Jesus. Not strong because of the power, but strong when we serve. Strong because we exhibit selflessness. Strong because of our humility. Basically, dying to our flesh daily. Now, if we can accomplish this, did we make it? Have we gotten there? Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, not that I have already obtained all this, I've made it, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of what? Of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In the beginning it says to continue. Just because we feel like we've made it, that we've gotten there. Paul's saying here, I haven't taken hold of it yet. I'm still straining forward. And that's the world we live in. We have to strain forward because somebody or something's always going to drag us down. But when we can confidentially come to Jesus without any doubts about situations we may be in, again, that doesn't mean we're super spiritual. It doesn't mean we've made it. Or as Pastor Nelly would say, I've made it because I'm Batman. No. It just means that we are maturing in our faith and growing. Life is going to throw things at you all the time as long as we live on this earth. But it is how we react and flex our spiritual muscles in Christ that defines us. That's who defines us, our walk with Jesus Christ. If our life is full of misery and we show it, then it's going to be like that. But if our life is full of misery, but we have the joy of the Lord, and though it's hard, it will show. We are the ones that Jesus is using in different parts of San Antonio to get people saved. We are the ones. It can be, it'll be, and other Christians, of course. But those that don't know him, they're looking to you. Tonight, whatever place we are in life, whether in trial or on a mountaintop, again, one thing stands. Jesus. Jesus is the one that stands tall in our lives. Again, what we're getting at is we are to mature daily. We are not to digress. We're to mature daily. And again, we could flex our spiritual muscles when we mature. Because if we don't, we have nothing, we have nothing to offer. Nothing. I can't come up here and tell you these things and then go home and live a different life. Or be out in HEB acting all different. Because that's who I am, living for Jesus. And that should define you. So tonight, if you haven't met Jesus or grabbed a hold of him, tonight could be your chance. And Friday nights, of course, you could be there. Majority of you are believers. We could be going through trials, different things in life. We're going to have men and women up front to pray with you in a few minutes. You could ask them. I know Jesus and Pastor Ron has trusted these men with prayers for you. Don't hesitate to ask. If it's your first time, this is the beginning of your workout with God. Just the beginning. If you're in the middle, keep going. Press on. So could I have the men and women of the pastor's class to come up? Father, I am truly grateful to you, Lord, for the life that you presented before me to live. Pastor Ron may say he's the most blessed man in the world. Well, I'm probably the second. But Jesus, we're victorious in you. Lord, I pray as we've heard your words tonight, that we would have a desire daily to grow more in love with you than ever before. To know more about you. To have an intimate relationship with you. You're the only one that could do that. Forgive us, Lord, if we've strayed. Forgive us, Lord, when we have unbelief. This is real. You're real. You exhibited on the cross that you loved us so much that you would die for us. And so, Father, I pray tonight, if there's any that hasn't grabbed hold and accepted you in their heart, may they come forward. Also, if there's any here that are going through trials in life, I pray for their boldness to come and confess things and ask for prayer. Lord, again, we thank you for loving us, for being our Father in heaven who loves us so much that he's given us brothers and sisters that care of one another. Lord, again, bless our evening and our time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.